to chew. There can't be much of that bubble gum left.
Get a nice little hotel, separate beds, because I know what you're like.
And I see how you are dancing, Lady Mario. It's very scary.
I can hear you, biatch, but you know what? I'm still going to score a hat trick.
Welcome back to the People's Podcast. This week, we look back to the African Cup of Nations, Steven Gerrard's return to Anfield, and a strange hostage request. But first, Raheem Sterling scored a hat trick for England, and then he managed to score again. But guys, what's going on with this player? I mean, if you look at Sterling, I mean, when he came in, of course, we know from Liverpool to City, everybody was complaining, the money, the this, the that, that he shouldn't go or that he should go. He went. Why did he go? He said he wanted to be a better player. He had an ambition. And to be fair, look at him now. He is scoring hat-tricks for England. England started in the Euro 2020 qualification campaign and impressed with a 5-0 win over Czech Republic. And that's not a small nation to beat. And then you could see, I mean, Southgate's got to believe in him. Pep Guardiola made him a better player. I think in the last 20 yards when he gets involved, he is amazing. So now I want to hear from the coach, because the coach, you know, when a player makes a great development like that and advances into so much success, something must be up. There must be a secret sauce.
Well, the thing is, Mazza, hope you're all right. I haven't spoke to you in a little while. I think with Raheem Sterling, he's made the right decision for himself. You know, at the end of the day, football club's a football club, and we all like to stay loyal to our teams. And you know, a lot of the fans do get upset when their players do leave. I mean, I'm sure Raheem Sterling was a very loved character and player at Liverpool. But at the end of the day, he's got to make his own choice as a person himself. Individually, he made the right decision. I think Pep Guardiola's definitely got the best out of him. Don't know what tactics he uses, whether he gives him a couple of lollipops here and there or lets him eat the food he wants to or massages his toenails. I ain't got a clue. But at the end of the day, he made the right choice, Mario. I mean, look at him now. He's thriving, scoring hat tricks for England. He's doing fantastic in the Premier League for Manchester City. Looks like he's on his way again to win another Premier League title, which is a bit of a struggle down at Liverpool. I mean, I know they've got the likes of Mo Salah and you know Sadio Mane and Firmino, but I just think Pep Guardiola's got the right ingredients to get the best out of Sterling. I mean, he's doing so fantastic. I mean, I feel sorry for him. I mean, with all the racism around him and everything else, he's doing so well to handle it. And he's getting hat tricks here. He's getting doubles and that stuff for Man City. He's getting goals. He's getting goals left, right and centre. And as an individual, I think Raheem Sterling's made the best decision of his life. And for me, he's probably the best English player in the Prem in the world at the moment. And he's looking like a proper world beater, Mario. So he's made the right decision. I mean, I'm sure you'd agree, you know. What a player.
I mean, about you saying that he's arguably the best English player right now in the league, I totally agree with that, because he is the best player in the league. He's doing so great. He's doing all the good stuff that you should be doing as a player. But just, you know, if we look back at some of the stuff that happened to him, I mean, people jumped on him about tattoos. But he grew up next to Wembley, got a tattoo of his dream, being the England's number 10 player at Wembley. He got his first England's cap. Then last year, he got the number 10 shirt. And now he's scoring hat-tricks. Guys, what a journey. We can all bash players. We can talk about stuff. But you also tapped, coach, you tapped into the racism. I mean, we got young stars. Because before we even go into that racism subject, but we have some great, great, great young talents in England. And I mean, Jadon Sancho was one that played as well. He played the first game. Unbelievable player. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed watching him. But then you got Declan Rice. We all know what happened to Declan Rice, right? He was at Ireland. He made that choice going to play for England. Everybody jumped him in. Even players now recently came out and said, like, oh, they're using us as a platform and just to get to England. It doesn't matter. If the kid has two opportunities and he feels that he feels better with a nation like England, you're going to pick that.
Of course.
And I get it.
Of course. Look, Ireland, I wouldn't complain either, Mario, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, who stands a bigger chance of winning that World Cup or winning any type of trophy for their country? England stand more chance, unfortunately. No disrespect to Ireland. But Declan Rice is he's plying his trade here in the United Kingdom. You know, he's playing at West Ham. He's a superb young player. And at the end of the day, if you was a young player looking into the England squad and seeing what Gareth Southgate's doing at the moment, what with all the young players bringing in, the Sanchos and, you know, the Hudson-Odois, at the end of the day, he's looking at that thinking, I want a piece of that pie. And you can't blame him. He's only young. And to play for England, it's one of the hip things to do. It's very cool. Everyone wants to play for England. It's a dream come true for the young lad. Let him do what he's got to do. I understand the Ireland fans are slightly annoyed. Declan Rice should be happy about that, because if they're annoyed, it means that they think he's a good player, which he is. And now he's in the England squad. And all these youngsters, Gareth Southgate's got the right remedy at the moment. I mean, he's playing all the young boys. They've got no fear. They're playing with a skill. They're playing with the invigoration. They're doing exactly what they need to do. And it looks like it's working. And England look like a new team, Mario. And it's really exciting to see all these young kids coming in and really showing what they've got. And England do have young talent. And they're standing up right now. And I'm excited, mate, because it's looking beautiful.
But the secret sauce, I think, of Southgate as well, being the manager of the younger boys when he had the young England, and I actually then had a conversation with him, and just his philosophy about the game, that he wanted to play football, he has his mindset, he was ready, and also when the job came along, he was ready. So all the young players that you see coming through now, it's not like just, oh, they come on to the scene and he just picks them. He knew. He knows the backstory of the Hudson-Odois and the Declan Rice. And
he's
the,
done his homework. He's done his homework.
Yeah. And some of them probably were already maybe close to his team or part of his team. But the thing is now, the players want to play for him. Then they've gone to Montenegro. I know it's got covered by racism. Sterling came out, because I think Sterling, you understand how you would say it. He uses his platform to certain things. He highlighted one. He highlighted one point that he bought a home, and some other players bought a home, and they highlighted and saying like, oh, this player bought a home. And then a white player came up and he said like, oh, look, now that a white player bought the home, they just say he did great. He bought a home for his parents. With me, they say, oh, I earned this much money. I bought this expensive house, and should I really be spending it? While the other kid is white, earning money, less money sometimes even than him, and then they say like, oh, great choice. So he did that. Now he used his platform again. You understand? And I do have to say, sometimes when people use their social platform for the right reason, I got to compliment them for it. So Sterling celebrated his late goal by cupping his ear, you understand, to not hearing the fans. And then he wrote on Twitter, we know, all of us know what skin color we are. So I don't know what the big issue is. It's not like you're telling us anything new. So meaning, I know I'm black.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me that I'm black? I know I'm black. I'm not complaining about it. I'm happy with it.
Exactly. He knows exactly what skin color he is. And I love the fact that he's so proud of his skin color. But at the same time, I don't think any human should be criticized by the color of their skin, where they're from, what they look like, or anything. We're all exactly the same, Mario. And this kid is a testament. The kid should be so proud as to what he's doing for football in a sense of racism, because Montenegro should be ashamed of themselves. We should be celebrating humans that have this kind of talent. And this kid, I'm so glad that Raheem is bringing this stuff. I think he's going to be the guy that changes racism in football. I really do. And I hope that people can, you know, hear and see what they're doing to these young kids. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Raheem Sterling is an absolute star. And I've got a lot of admiration for this young player. And I just hope that, you know, things do change. Because I really don't like racism in football. I don't like racism in anything, whether it's football, rugby, golf, or just walking on the streets, you know. It's got to be kicked out. And I think Raheem Sterling is not only going to be one of the best players in the world, which he is right now, but I also think he's going to change the game. And I hope that the FA and FIFA and all these big, huge corporations do come into this and start to make changes. I think Montenegro should be banned. I think possibly chucked out of football for the time being. People need to be punished, because if we just constantly just keep giving these small, minor, you know, bans, like points deducted, they're just going to keep on doing it. So we got to bring in some more, you know, yeah, some heavyweight. I agree with you, Mario. We got to start to say, you know, okay, cool. You want to be racist? Or we're going to take you out of the cup competition. How about that? We're going to ban you. You know, we're going to make you play under lights. No fans. You're all banned from coming, you know, because it's not fair. But I love the fact that Raheem Sterling covered his ears as if to say, I can hear you. I can hear you, biatch. But you know what? I'm still going to score a hat trick. Take that. I'm going to score. I'm going to, you know.
I agree. So that's why also, I mean, you know, like just to, I don't want to dwell on too long on it, but I do agree. I came across it myself, you understand, in my professional career, and I never liked it. I was always against it. And I totally agree with you. This should not live in football. Hudson-Odoi, 18 years old, already experienced in a situation like that. He said that he could hear the monkey chants towards him. And Danny Rose. Danny Rose was disappointed. He didn't want to swap his shirt. So he left his shirt in the dressing room because some of the guys were asking for him, but he was so disappointed. He was like, why would I swap with you guys? You know, I know the players maybe that wanted to swap with him. Those were not the ones that making the sounds. But still, you know, you're annoyed. Sometimes it affects you so deep in your bone that you don't, you just shut down and don't want to do anything. Southgate made a great comment. Let me just tell you this, what this man said. He said, look, we can we are away from home. But I've said it before, we are not clear of this issue at home. And we've got to take more, we got to make sure our players are supported. We've got to put our own house in order so we can push for the right sanctions here. Because if you're not doing it right at home, you cannot complain about somebody else's home. I agree. In Holland, we have the same situations going on regarding racism. And I'm not saying, you understand, like, there is good, there is no. Everybody should look at his own situation and then judge somebody else. I mean, you understand?
The fact that Southgate raised the the issue with regards to racism still at home. In England, it's only on a small scale. You get the odd stupid little twat who says the wrong thing and doesn't understand what it means, etc., etc. And I know that, you know, in Montenegro, it's a lot worse because for me, those sort of countries are still living in the old days. They haven't advanced as much as what we have here in the United Kingdom. But at the same time, look, let's be really honest, Mario. Racism should not exist. It's 2019. It shouldn't have existed back in the day and it shouldn't exist now.
No.
So I'm hoping that the people that listen to this and the people that watch us and the people that watch football all around the world should just understand that these people are only human beings. The colour of their skin shouldn't matter because ultimately they've got exactly the same thing as what everyone else does. We're all the same. We have hearts, we have lungs, we have liver, we have brains, we have eyes. We're all the same. You know, people go on holiday to get tans on their skin. So if you want to get colour on your skin, that's just telling you exactly what it is there. We're all exactly the same. You know, melanin is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. We're all the same. So this whole racism thing, we just got to get rid of it, kick it out of football, kick it out of the world, kick it out of every walk of life and just move on as human beings and just enjoy life as much as we can because it's not working. It's really not working.
Now we're going to tap into, the neighbors, Scotland.
Scotland
are unconvincing in their qualifiers round because this is incredible. I mean, Scotland boss Alex McLeish was booed because his side was not convincing in beating San Marino 2-0. Oh, we get that.
San Marino.
Beating San Marino 2-0, that's a big question mark.
Most guys beat San Marino about 13-0, pal. How's Scotland winning 2-0? That's disgusting, pal.
Yeah, I get it, because that's definitely not what they came to do. So as soon as they get over the halfway line, the fans are already cheering like they are having a goal opportunity. So no, this is not looking good, really. The win, the win does at least give Scotland the first win of the group. So that's already a bad sign. And following the 3-0 loss to Kazakhstan on Thursday, fans chatted that they want the board to be sacked.
Scotland's got a great side and they go out and lose to Kazakhstan 3-0. How dare you? That's a disrespect to the country. That is bad, Mario.
No, that's definitely not good. So now we're going to another place, is the African Cup of Nations. I love this because it's full of color. They got 24 teams because they changed it. It used to be less. They changed it now. It's going to be in Egypt. And they got, I mean, I'm going quickly through the rounds of the nations that are qualified. I mean, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Congo, Tanzania, Cameroon, Madagascar.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The names are you, the names that you are giving to me, Mario.
Yeah, let me finish. I'm almost there.
They are beautiful, sir.
Egypt, those are the big boys. Senegal, oh my gosh.
My God, sir.
Angola, Cote d'Ivoire, Namibia. Oh my God, this is beautiful. Benin.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Montenegro, please, can you stand up and watch the Africans of Nations and see the kind of beauty, the color, the love, the passion. Mozambique, Madagascar, you know, all these amazing African countries. So we are doing everything we have to make the world understand that the Africans of Nations Cup in 2019 is going to be a festival. We are going to celebrate. We are going to dance. We are going to make people feel like the energy is going through their body like a gigantic train. Everything is going to be amazing about this cup competition, Mario. I'm so proud of all the African nations. I'm so proud.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. We made a documentary on the set where we followed the number of players. It was like, what, 60 players around the world called Phenoms. I'm mentioning that because we could see the color in the documentary that we focused on. So looking back at that kind of stuff, it's like one of my big dreams. One day I really want to travel to Africa, but real going through everywhere. I've been to Morocco. I've been to South Africa. But I want to go in the middle, you know, and see more about it. So that's why I want to experience it. I want to feel it. I want to eat it because they have a lot of good food.
I know they do. And you know what? Honestly, Mario, it looks amazing. Like, I'd love to come with you. Hopefully me and you can go together, get a nice little hotel, separate beds, because I know what you're like. But I really do hope, and I'm really looking forward to this tournament, because honestly, when every time the Africans of Nations Cup does come along, all you get is beautiful colours, beautiful people, celebrations, festivals, dancing, great food, great culture. This is what football's all about. This is what the world's all about. And the Africans always do it the right way. They have the best time in the world. There's no fighting. All you hear is all them, you know, those nice little horns that they blow, and they've got drums and they've got loads of instruments. They've got beautiful women dressed up in fantastic. It's like a carnival. It is like a carnival. So I want to experience it myself too, but I cannot wait for the Africans and Nations Cup to come along so we can all experience it. And I hope the Montenegrins do go out and have a look at it and see what it means to these people, because football is meant to be a sport that brings everyone together and makes a giant celebration. So I cannot wait. Africans and Nations, I love it.
Thank you so much, because I'm feeling the passion that you're bringing, and I'm really, really relating to that.
Of course.
I'm relating to that heavily. Also, because of experience playing with a lot of African players and just knowing a lot of African people, you know, as friends or just acquaintances or just people that are...
They're the best people, Mario. They're the best people.
They
love the game.
Though. They know how to party.
Oh, my God. So we can party every day, 24 hours a day. So we got the food, the dance, the women. We have everything you are waiting for. Africans of Nations Cup is the most exciting. Forget about the World Cup. Forget about FA Cup, this Cup, that Cup. Africans of Nations Cup is beautiful, sir. Beautiful.
This is, I don't know what this is. This is just crazy. A man is holding hostages. Tells our police that he wants Brendan Rodgers back. The officers were sent to deal with a situation of a 31-year-old man that was had a weapon. And the man that Brendan Rodgers came back. We all know that Brendan Rodgers went to Leicester City as a coach. But now is a big game coming up. The Old Firm. They're playing Celtic, is playing Rangers. And this is a big one.
When I'm watching these kind of games, man, the thing crazy, car. We all look forward to playing them and seeing them and watching them on the big screen, on the big telly. But me want to say something. See the brother that hold the man hostage and say him want Brendan Rodgers to come back and all his mad thing. This man are crazy, you know. Because I thought that Jamaica had madman, but these brother have madman too, you know. The man pull out a thing and grab up the man, and man, the man wants the hostage, you know. Because the man, them are nuts. But let me say something, that all these game and all these fun, them, these brother have passion. Passion in the football is good, but you have to kind of curb the passion, because you can't take it too far. You know, if you want to manage your back, you can send a little email or something, a nice text message or something, like a WhatsApp or jump on Skype and say to my brethren, yo, listen, me want Brendan back, you see me? Because if you're not bringing back, me not come, me not spend no money. But these brother, them try and do a hostage situation. The man, them are crazy, man. These brother need to come Jamaica and see what going on. You know, all the people in Jamaica, we not play no games, you know. You want hostage, man, I give hostage, you see me? But these men are crazy. And the games, the old term derby, oh my God. Even in Jamaica, Kingston, and all these kind of mad places, we are watch this kind of game because these games bring fire.
Yeah, you know what? And actually, it's good to hear, but we got a Scotchman as well. You understand? Let me hear what he says, because he loves it.
Exactly. Listen, Mario, I agree with that guy you just spoke there. I don't know his name, the Jamaican guy. Wagwan, my brother, yeah. Yes, I'm all right, pal. But listen here. I agree with what he just said. You know, you can't hold a guy hostage. It does not make sense, you know. At the end, listen, man, it's crazy because you watch the games and all these guys are doing all these mad things. The guy holding him hostage, I want Brendan back too. But I wouldn't go out there and do that sort of stuff. But I would like to go to Jamaica. Come to Jamaica anytime you want, my brother.
Hey, can I come too? I want to come too, guys.
Yeah,
come
man,
on
listen,
now.
Mario, listen, you would blend in nicely in Jamaica, car. You got the dreadlock, you wear the nice vest, and you have the best attitude and person. All the girl them love Mario Melchat in Jamaica. My boy, brother, all the girl, yeah, man, you like Mario? Yeah, listen, yo, that's my wife. My wife trying to jump in. Yo, shut. But let me say, the old term derby is a big match, and all these people them want to play games. And listen, football is football. You just have to enjoy all the games. You see me?
Okay, bro. Thank you so much, man. No, I'm definitely have to pick
yeah,
that
man,
up.
Yeah, man, all right.
We are now at the beautiful game. We got to the section where we always talk about different stories. So we're talking about a tiny island nation that Montserrat. Oh, they had such a high hope. They were so close. They were so close to qualifying for the CONCACAF and Gold Cup. And following the 2-win over the Cayman Islands in week 4. And then, oh my God, you know, the Caribbean island, they only, what is it, like 5,000 people live there. I've never been there, but I know about it now. And I feel like it would have been great because those kind of little countries, it's interesting for them to make it. So they got beat because they got beat on Sunday when Nicaragua beat Barbados 1-0 away from home to pip them to the last spot. At the finals. So they're not going, but it was so close. And they, I want islands like that to go to places like that because it's special.
Beautiful story. You know, she's what football's made of, dreams, ambitions. Football is about memories and it's all about stuff that we can always remember. And I think if this does happen, I think Montserrat have got something really good going. It will only do well for their island. And I'd be proud as an Englishman to see something like this being achieved. You know what I mean? I think it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
No, I agree. It's always nice. So that's why we're going now to Zidane. To become one of the best players in the world, he said, I slept well. I wasn't an idiot going around bars and I only drank water and I did stretches. I mean, this is a great tip for young players and even for myself right now because the way I'm getting older, I need to stretch more too. But anyway.
Yeah, you need to stretch. You need to stretch. I see how you are dancing, Lady Mario. It's very scary. You need to stretch.
So listen, you know what's so interesting? It said what he said, and I loved it. Look, he was giving his parents difficulties at school because he wasn't performing and wasn't bringing the grades home that he wanted. Then he challenged his parents, showed them what he could do on the field. At the moment when he went to Cannes and became a professional football player, he said to himself, I'm going to become the best player in the world. I'm going to work hard to become one of the best out there. Then, because he was 17 years old, he said he slept well. He wasn't an idiot. He put everything into becoming the best possible player. I had to do it at all costs. This is how I could make my parents happy because it was my life. But I also did it to make them proud.
Of course, of course. I am one of the biggest supporters and fans of Zinedine Zidane. He's a legend in football. In my opinion, I would have to say he is probably the best footballer I ever seen. And he's made a good point. He's going to help young footballers understand that at the end of the day, yes, you are a professional footballer. Yes, you make good money. Yes, you are very young. But you should also understand it's still a job. You are working, you are playing football for a country, for a team. Have respect. Don't, if you want to celebrate, okay, go celebrate one night, have fun, but don't go out every week. You know,
disrespecting your club, disrespecting yourself. Alcohol is a poison at the end of the day. You must stretch, you must get enough rest. Your body needs to have time to repair. If you go out every night drinking, dancing, looking at ladies, you're never going to improve. You might be a good player, but you won't be the best player. Players like Zidane, Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, you know, Riquelme, all of these star football players, they never become the best because they was drinking. They become the best because they was disciplined. So Zidane makes a very good point for the young children. If you want to be a footballer, be a footballer. If you want to go to clubs, be a promoter. If you want to do drugs or drink, be a crazy guy. You know, it doesn't... We don't have it together. Zidane is one of my favorite players and he made the best point in the world. I think must look after your body. Always respect yourself. Always.
I totally agree. If you want to achieve it, it's not going to be in front of your computer. It's not going to be sitting on the sofa and playing so many computer games.
No.
Your mobile phone or sitting. No. You got to go out there, ball under your arm, raining, snowing, storm,
training,
whatever it is. You play the game. Good. The more you play, the better you become. The more you talk about it, the better your lips and tongue becomes better and nothing else. So that's why.
Exactly.
Don't do that. So we go to one of the greatest managers, Mr. I'm going to call him, Sir Alex Ferguson. Wow. What to just allow to say that already, you know, for a manager like him. Also a nice person. Away from being a great manager, he was also a nice person. I met him a number of times, not only because of playing against him, but in different atmospheres of football situations, final of Champions League, where he now goes around and watches them as well. I do that myself too. But Sir Alex Ferguson, his final chewing gum that he had. This is something crazy.
I think we need a drum roll for this, Mario.
Yeah? Okay, let's go for it. His final game that concluded Alex Ferguson's tune at Old Trafford was a dramatic 5-5 draw against West Brom and Derby. And a fan claimed to have picked up the chewing gum of Alex Ferguson. And now it is selling online. I don't know what the hell is going on there, but for 390,000. Oh my God, guys! I'm gonna go run
all the streets in London and pick up every single piece of chewing gum, Mario. Because I tell you what, that is ridiculous. I mean, how can you sell a piece of chewing gum? I'm going to intervene here, Mario. Sorry, Gaffer. But that's ridiculous. £390,000 for a piece of chewing gum that was in his disgusting mouth. There must be germs in there.
Yeah.
The way he used to chew, there can't be much of that bubble gum left. I mean, ridiculous. I hope that money goes to charity somewhere in Scotland, you know, or maybe possibly towards somewhere in Manchester, because £390,000 for a piece of chewing gum, that's ridiculous, Mario. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, no, it's crazy. When I saw that, it was crazy. It has nothing to do with Mr. Alex Ferguson. It just has to do with the idea of someone that's willing to pay that kind of money. And, hey, listen, there are better things that you could do. You know, like get a jersey, get something. Get something equivalent, but something that was in someone's mouth. No, it's nothing for me. But anyway, guys, we've come to the end. We are getting to the last moment of the people. I know, it's enjoyable. We talk a lot. We have enough great talk. Topics. It's only down to you. We have the great topics because you leave the voice notes on our WhatsApp number, and we're very grateful for you guys doing that. We're gonna give you the number again because we like giving people the number.
Give them the number, Mario.
Are listening to it. Give them the number. Okay, +447796538728 and call. Leave your voice note, and we don't mind whoever it is. Girls, guys, wherever you're from,
man.
We love you, and we are very happy that you spent this time with us.
Yes,
thank you very much for coming and listening.
Thank you.